What a pleasure it is to be here with you today. I want to thank the church, the officers, your pastors, and especially Elder Morgan for the invitation to be with you on this great and beautiful Sabbath. And what a theme you have, Family Life Day, reaching families for eternity. What an emphasis. And I want to thank you for bringing emphasis to that, because I believe with all my heart that God has an emphasis for us to consider today as we look at the condition of this earth history. I'm glad to hear you responding to me. There's a timer, they told me, someplace. I see it now. They're putting on me. But I am an African-American Seventh-day Adventist pastor. You hear what I said. I tend to preach shorter sermons the more amens I hear. Come on now. And if you don't say amen, I think you didn't get the point, and I just stay on it until the Holy Spirit tells me to move. But you're very engaged, so I think we'll be all right today. And by the way, don't worry. I do believe in the preacher's beatitude. You know which one that is. That's the one that says, blessed is he that preacheth a short sermon, for he shall be asked to preach again. Come on now. And I want to come back to this wonderful, worshipful place that you have. I am moved, though. I have a burning in my soul this morning. And if you would allow me, I want to just read our scriptures again. This is going to help me, not necessarily you, but Proverbs 30, verse 11, before we have our prayer. The wise man Solomon, moved by the Holy Ghost, declares that there is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless its mother. Then the wise apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 4, gives us the admonition that I believe connects us to your theme, reaching families for eternity, when he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you. Verse 3, you may live long on the earth, the New King James Version. And then verse 4, and you fathers. I don't know why he didn't say mothers too, but he said, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I want to reflect for just a few moments in the time we have together this morning on the subject, Generation X. Generation X. Let's pray together. Lord, the time has come when you said that we will not be saved by any philosophy, but by the foolishness of preaching. So I ask now that you would do that which only you can do. Come and live inside this human vessel, Lord, that I may proclaim your words to the living souls that need to hear it. And Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. Let all of God's children say amen, amen, amen. Generation X, Generation X. Let me begin this way. I read about a manufacturing plant over in a European country. And the plant had an entrance into it, and it had a station there, and they had security guards that would check those who came in and out of the plant. And there was a certain worker who, at the end of the day, came to the exit with a wheelbarrow, and it was empty. They checked it underneath it, nothing taped underneath it. It was empty. Day after day, the same worker came through with this empty wheelbarrow, and they couldn't figure out what was going on until suddenly it came to them that this worker was stealing wheelbarrows. Sometimes we can be oblivious to the obvious. Come with me, church. And the Apostle Paul, and I believe the Holy Spirit has moved your church to come and understand that the keeping fabric of any society is the family structure. And if you want to bring down any society, you simply need to bring down its family structure. And the Apostle Paul, in our scripture reading this morning, is reminding young and old in the church at Ephesus of what in verse 4 sounds to me like family worship talk. He says, fathers, bring up your children in the instruction, admonition. Some verses say the training of the Lord Jesus Christ. Family worship is important. And listen to what Paul is giving emphasis to. that he believes must be a subject in family worship to keep the family aware of the fact that God has specific instructions for his children. He is lifting up that which God communicated to man some years ago by God himself on Mount Sinai. Stay with me, church. When God wrote with his own finger on two tables of stone, the Ten Commandments. The first four admonitions are man's responsibility to God. The next six are man's responsibility to mankind. And the very first commandment to man regarding his fellow citizens is to honor thy father and thy what? Thy mother. The fifth commandment embodies, you see, that which God has constantly reminded man of throughout history. And even the verbiage bears some consideration this morning for us. The word honor. It's a word that we're not very comfortable with anymore in our society. Webster defines honor as a high regard or a great respect is given or received or enjoyed. Honor meaning to value, to respect, to esteem highly. Now that's interesting. You notice that the fifth commandment, and when we talk about defining the word honor, it's not a matter, hear me now, of love or agreement that we have with our parents, but it is a display of respect for parents that can only be captivated by the word honor. Our children are commanded by God to honor us parents, not because parents are always right, not because parents are always honest, not because parents are always kind, but just because they are parents. If you can't say amen, say ouch this morning. Amen. Can I quote from the Spirit of Prophecy here, Spirit of Ellen G. White? Yeah? I'm glad you gave me, I was gonna do it anyway, but I'm glad you gave me permission. Our prophet Ellen White states in the little book, Adventist Home, which some of us haven't looked into, but I invite you to go to a section entitled, Honor Due Our Parents, page 292 to 295. She gives some inklings to us that will stir us back to an understanding of just how important this fifth commandment is to holding us together, not just as a church, but as a world, as a society. She says the fifth commandment requires children not only to yield respect, submission, and obedience to their parents, but also to give them love and tenderness, to lighten their cares, to guard their reputation, and to aid them in old age. In another section, she says, to even make a smooth path for your parents to the grave. And hear me now, in children that are disrespectful, still in Ellen White and in the Bible, children that are disrespectful toward their parents are not walking in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. As a child of God, we do not have to understand, hear me now, why God leads us where he does, but we do have to give him honor just because he's worthy of honor. Without physical parents, there would be no you. Huh? We are to honor parents because without them, we would not exist. And I hear your holy minds, young people, so let me give some balance. The Apostle Paul does say in Ephesians 6, verse 4, he says, fathers, I mean inclusive of both fathers and mothers, to not provoke your children to wrath. I thought the parents should say amen on that. Come on now. In one translation, it says, don't make your children upset and mad at you, unnecessarily so. So there is a place for us as parents, but the emphasis that I want to get to is regarding how this fifth commandment was divinely included within the commandments, because it is holding a world, it is holding a community, it is holding a church together, and we need to give admonition to that. You see, the fifth commandment forces us to acknowledge that no man is an island by himself. You did not do it all by yourself. Hear me now, when a mother moose gives birth to a yearling, that yearling has only approximately 8 months to prepare to exist on his own. A year later, when the mother moose is pregnant again, for the safety of the next newborn, if the previous yearling is still around, she will chase him or her off to exist by itself. But human mothers and parents, stay with me, nurse and care for their young ones, some would say, way too long. In fact, some women say that when men get married, they simply move from one nursery to another. If you don't understand that, see me after the service, and I'll explain that one to you by God's grace. I read one study that stated that Seventh-day Adventist children tend to be nurtured for a longer period than the general society at large. And what's happening there is that Adventists need to remember that family worship is a discipling responsibility, where we sit around with our families not upset, not with a problem, and we make sure our children understand that we love them, and we give them admonitions about how to leave this earth and make sure they're ready when Jesus Christ comes. It can be done no other way but at family worship. Family worship can take different forms. When you have professional young adults, children who maybe have moved out the home, maybe you need to make a lunch appointment so you can still have worship with them. And remind them that the day that they were brought into this earth, you prayed for them and you blessed them in the church, and you knew God had a destiny for them. Family worship is about discipling and making sure our children recognize that they are born for a purpose to let others know that Jesus Christ is coming soon and they need to be ready when Christ comes back. Amen. Family worship, family worship. But hear me now, we have come to a point to where some have grown up. I'm talking about in the church. And it may be some of us that are hearing my voice, and now you're an adult. Maybe you're a senior. But somehow, in the family structure, we become teenagers, and we think that now we can make our own decisions. We don't have to obey mother and father. We don't have to respect. In fact, it gets worse. I'm turning 65 next week, so I got a little experience. Come on now. It gets a little worse when they get a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You hear what I said. They want to tell you when they're coming in. No. If you pay the mortgage, you can tell me a lot of things. You can have participate. But it gets a little worse where they begin to get their own authority. But hear me now. We get to the point to where we believe when we are adults that the fifth commandment is no longer binding. But here's Spirit of Prophecy again. In that same section, 292 to 295, growing up does not relinquish us of our responsibility to our fathers and our mothers. Surely some of you will and have married and left home to cleave to one's mate as instructed in the Word of God. But hear me now, honoring one's mate is different than honor due to one's mother and father. Again, Ellen White, our prophet, parents are entitled to a degree of love and respect which is due no other person. There is no period in life where children are excused from honoring their parents. There are no pre-birth agreements, no parental restraining orders or escape clauses that can relieve one from the broad demands of the fifth commandment. God expects us, as long as there's breath in our lungs, no matter how our parents may have misdone us, but he says, honor your father and your mother. But I rise, Sacramento Central, and I'm shifting now to declare to you that the wise man Solomon said that there is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. This generation, the Apostle Paul also declares in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4, if you're taking notes, he declares that this generation will also signal the close of earth history. This generation that does not have any type of care and mercy for their mother and their father. When we're beginning to see it and we're seeing it, the Bible is telling us that we're getting closer than ever before to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Listen to the Apostle Paul's words in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men And you notice he didn't say children. He says for men, being inclusive of all mankind, shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, meaning having no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good. If that doesn't sound like the time we're living in, I don't know what time we're living in. Come on now, I'm getting in trouble now, but people get upset at you just because you wear a mask. I'm looking down so you won't talk about me before I leave. Fierceness at each other over trivial things like mask wearing. Let's don't get caught up in it. The devil is using everything he can to divide his people. But I've got to bring to you the fact that this generation X, the X is symbolic not of a generation that has come, but see, this generation X is identified by its mentality. Anybody can be a member of Generation X. Because if you partake of the foolishness of this world and you begin to miss and abuse your parents, then you are becoming part of the generation that Paul says will be ushering in the second coming of Christ. They are disobedient and they are uncaring to their parents. Somebody said they don't care about anyone but themselves. And hear me now, church. This whole thing of postmodernism is fitting into this description of Generation X in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 4. One of the architects of postmodernism, Richard Rorty, hear him say it himself. He says the aim of postmodernism is to get to the point to where everybody can do what they want to do. Not be concerned about anyone else but yourself. So this Generation X, they don't care about anyone but themselves. Someone said they're intelligent, but they have no common sense. Wealthy in material things, but poor in the wisdom of God. Athletic in worldly pursuits, but strangely arthritic in obeying a plain, thus saith the Lord. Someone said they are disrespectful, discourteous, disobedient, disgusting, dishonest, disingenuous, just plain dis. We are closer to the second coming of Christ than we've ever been just by observing who still adheres to the fifth commandment. Challenging generation. About 30 years ago now in Southern California, I was coming out of a market, supermarket, and I was following behind a group of multi-ethnic young men in their late teens. And I was making sure I didn't bump nobody. You hear what I said? You get in trouble just bumping somebody. And I'm a little bit older, so I got to watch my balance. Don't laugh at me. So I followed behind closely, and it just so happened that these young men were in an automobile parked right next to my automobile that had my wife sitting in the front seat and my three children in the back seat. And as I went around to get in my car, to my amazement, Pastor Thompson, one of the gentlemen who was driving and was right next to my wife in terms of her sitting in the front seat on the right, before he gets in the car, he spreads his legs with his back to my wife, unzips his pants, and begins to urinate right in front of my family. Oh, I'm getting there. I'm getting there to what happens when a society, when the church has no more obedience to the fifth commandment. If you're not aware of the fact that just recently the FBI began to record an incident that has become so disturbing. Prior to about 30 years ago, 20 or 30 years ago, they took no notice about it. It's a subject called patricide and matricide, parricide. Children killing their parents. It began to be so prevalent that the FBI began to keep recordings of it. The incidence of violence specifically known, specifically between parent and child, has increased dramatically over the recent years, quadrupling between 1996 and 2001. The FBI indicates that parricide accounts for approximately 2% of all homicide cases, with 75% of these cases involving perpetrators over the age of 18. Killing their parents. You see, I'm getting there. We're building, say with me, I'm not gonna be long. Some of you haven't said amen. You better say amen, because I'm getting to the end of my sermon. Family worship that displays a loving parent dealing with a loving child is doing something far beyond what we can even imagine. Another article I read, and it's ironic, it was talking about the early days of the previous joining of the Soviet Union. And I say that's ironic, given what's taking place over in Ukraine right now. Many are wondering, is Putin trying to put together back the Soviet Union? In the earlier days, hear me now, they had an intention of overcoming properties and land in Africa. And what they would do, they would go into the villages in Africa, and specifically under the guise of educating young men, they would take young men out of the African villages, when in reality, they were going to be indoctrinated and trained in the arts of terrorism. Hear me now. The Soviet Union's goal was to train and use these young boys. Many of them were sons of local leaders, and hear me now, they returned them to Africa to destabilize the region. You see, the first order of business for a Soviet-trained African terrorist was to go back to their village and kill their father. Oh, the enemy knows how to bring down a society. He knows how to destroy a community. He knows how to destroy a church, and it's pull the fabric of the family apart. Pull the fabric of the family apart. Thus, when the young man kills his own father, he's breaking with the past, showing true allegiance to the new Soviet philosophies. But hear me now, when we look at this Generation X that cursed their father and did not bless their mother, when we look to see who is responsible for developing such a generation, I rise, Sacramento Central, to tell you that we don't have to look for to really find out who is responsible for cultivating such a generation that will usher in the second coming of Christ. I read this account a little bit ago. Listen to it. It's about a man and his wife. The man's father lived with them. He was old and kind of sick, and his hands shook. When he ate, sometimes he knocked things over. So the wife told her husband to make a wooden bowl for him so he wouldn't break the good dishes. After that, the man got tired of seeing his father spill food at the table, and he made his father a wooden bowl and made him sit in the corner behind the stove for him to eat. That still wasn't good enough. They got tired of cleaning up food, so they made the old man eat out of a kind of a grain bin that the animals use. But here is the most interesting part of the story. The couple had a little boy, and one day they saw the little boy outside whittling out and hollowing out a hollow log. The father asked the little boy, what was he doing? And the little boy said, I'm making a trough so it will be ready for when you are old and you come to live with me. That's right. If anybody is responsible for this generation, we don't have to look for. Some of us can just look in the mirror. For you see, the first lesson of Christianity, quoting our prophet again, Ellen White, Adventist Home 199 and 361, the first lesson of Christianity is to teach our children and new converts the fifth commandment. Worship in the morning. Worship in the evening. You're modeling to your young people about obeying and giving obedience to parents. You see, we also can look back to the unfortunate decades of the 1980s. The results of our divorce-crazed age of the 1980s and our materialistic obsessions that we had to have at no cost. You do know that divorces among families skyrocketed in the 1980s. It resulted in more children having to come home and be inside by themselves while the other parent was at work. A master plan by the enemy. You see, these children who had to come in, latchkey kids, they used to call them, and fix their own meals and do their homework until mommy or daddy got off work. What was happening is that when children are left to their own, they learn to be their own authority. That is why family worship is so important. And having the best house or the best car is not important. You didn't listen to what I said. There's sacrifices that we still need to make so that our children can be discipled and believe in Jesus Christ. We cannot leave them to their own. And hear me now. This is my final point. Now, this is what I've been building to by God's grace. Another purpose for the fifth commandment is to engender respect for all rightful authority. Such respect begins with the attitude of children toward their parents. In the mind of the child, this becomes the basis for respect and obedience owed to those, listen to what the word is saying, to those who are legitimately placed in authority over him or her throughout their life. One doctor in her book, The Generation Me, she quotes how many entrepreneurs and self-made millionaires wanted to give back to society so they would go on their own back into colleges and try to share what they have in terms of knowledge of making themselves. But many of them said, I don't want to go back to the college anymore because they were getting such disrespect from the college students. And disdain. You see, these kids were raised to where they believe there are gods and they have no rightful respect or authority for anybody else. And we want to blame our teachers. But the real work starts in the home. The real work starts in the home. You know, I come from a period of the 1950s and 1960s. You hear what I said? It's a time before there were child abuse laws. You hear what I said? And in black communities, little black mothers used to carry around with them cut off belts. You hear what I said? And broken spoons, and Elder Thompson, if you fall out in the store and have a fit, they will pull out these little belts and they will help you fall back up, right back in the store. And I hear, and I'm not advocating a punishment upon a child, but somehow we must recognize discipline is needed for our children. So we're having now in society, here's Generation X, adults having temper tantrums because they can't get their way. They were never discipled. So they think everything is about them. Again, page 361, Adventist Home. The fifth commandment is meant to protect us. Ooh, listen to what our final point is today. The fifth commandment is meant to protect us from the most dangerous creature ever known to mankind. Human beings who care about only one thing, and that's themselves. Still, in a lot of the serial killings, they find that the serial killers, before they've killed in general population, they have killed their mothers and their fathers. Hear me now, we must remind our children and brethren alike that this is the first commandment, the fifth commandment, with promise. The Apostle Paul instructs us that the fifth commandment has an immediate promise attached to it, unlike the other nine. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that what? Thy days may be long upon the earth with the Lord thy God giveth thee. Why didn't God attach this promise to any other of the nine commandments? Why? Why not long life if you don't make any graven images, or you don't commit adultery, or you keep the Sabbath? Why didn't he attach the promises to any of those? I submit to you this morning that because if one truly adheres to the fifth commandment, he or she will naturally be beholden to all other nine commandments. If a man, and this is free as I'm closing, this is free counseling. I'm not going to charge anything for it this morning. But if you're single and you got somebody in mind that you want to get married to, I got some counsel for you. If the man that you're dating treats his mother like the bottom of his shoe, what makes you think he's going to treat you any different? And vice versa, if a woman curses her own father who helped bring her into the earth, what makes you think, sir, that she's going to get up in the morning and scramble you some eggs and make you some toast all morning? Oh, no, she's not going to do that. She's going to treat you the same way that she's treating her father. So important as I close, so important is the fifth commandment to the welfare of society, that when Jesus was dying on the cross for you and I, he told death to wait a minute. And he stopped dying to uplift not the Sabbath commandment, as important as it is, not any other commandment. Jesus stopped dying and he looked down at the apostle John and he said, John, behold thy mother, assuring that his mother would be taking place. The last thing Jesus did before he died was uphold the fifth commandment. Why? Because when a person is beholden and takes care of his father and mother, he will always be honorable to his fellow men and women. Reaching families for eternity will involve us remembering to remind and disciple our new converts to honor father and mother in the morning. And by the way, having enough love to bring your family together in worship, see, is honoring the children, and they learn to honor the parents. What's wrong with society? I wish I can tell you it's going to get any better. But one thing that doesn't have to happen, nobody listening to me at the sound of my voice needs to be a part of Generation X. We need to make sure that we are in right relationship with God. Jesus says, how can you love God whom you've never seen when you can't love someone who you see every day? The fifth commandment is a life-saving connection, not just for the church, but for the community. That's one of the greatest things that we can do, is have parenting classes for the community, reminding the community of what it is to really honor God. My prayer is that God would move through all of us to make sure that we're adherents to his word. Who believes the word of God today? Who believes the word of God? Who believes the word of God? I know I've got to give the benediction, but let me just pray to close the sermon. Would you pray with me? Father, we recognize this morning that these are words far beyond any human philosophy. They are divine. And Father, there may be someone listening to me that's out of a right relationship with their mother and their father. And I pray at this very moment that you would send your Holy Spirit to that loved one. Give them the ability to make peace, be a peacemaker with their parent. And in doing so, may they win a mother or father to Jesus Christ if they're out of the ark of safety. And Father, bless Sacramento Central. Continue to be with them as they celebrate family, the family of God. We ask all this in the worthy name of Jesus, is our prayer, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Redeem how I long to proclaim. Redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem.
Sacramento Central, may the Lord bless and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Let all of God's children say amen.